Now, without any further delay, I would like to begin today's presentation, and I'll hand it off to the first presenter, Todd. Todd, you now have the floor.
I'd like to thank everyone for joining. I'm Todd Wedge, Business Development Manager for High Performance Computing at Microsoft, and I manage the global relationship with Platform Computing. Excel has long been a staple for running a variety of analytical computations at financial service companies. The challenge has really been how to make use of compute cluster resources from Excel applications written on a workstation. With Platform Symphony and the Excel Accelerator product, we see this as a great way for enterprises in the financial services industry to leverage their existing investments in both Excel and their Windows IT infrastructure while speeding up their simulations. I'd now like to introduce Martin Harris, who's the Director of Product Management at Platform Computing.
Thanks, Todd. This is Martin here, and I appreciate the introduction. I'd like to go through a quick review of what we're seeing in the financial services sector and use that as the foundation of the use cases and the customer scenarios that are leveraging our joint solution here with between Platform Computing and Microsoft. And I'll get into a little bit of technical details for about 10 minutes of the discussion, 10 or 15 minutes. Overall, I have about 35 to 40 minutes of content to walk through. If you have any questions, please feel free to text them throughout the meeting, and I'll address them as part of my discussion and then through the Q&A session at the end. Now, a little bit about Platform Computing. We have we've been in business for roughly 16 years. The company was founded in 1992. We are very heavily deployed across many of the large organizations worldwide that are using distributed computing to accelerate application results in a cost-effective manner. And I'll walk through some of those customers' examples and industries in a moment. We're global in scope and, as I mentioned, have been profitable throughout the existence of the company. If you look at some of the industries that we serve, as we discussed earlier, this will be targeted at some of these financial services organizations. I'll walk through some of the use cases by name and not throughout the discussion. We're also deployed at many traditional HPC strongholds in terms of industry uses of grid technology and distributed computing, which has been Platform's foundation and where our expertise lies as an organization. If you look at some of the business challenges that are being faced within the financial services sector that have really started off this whole desire to have results of analytical applications returned quicker, the idea is purely based off of revenue and competition. Even in today's market conditions, the while risk management and cost savings are getting more attention, ultimately, financial organizations, especially in the capital market space and the money management side of insurance organizations, are required to find new ways to make money and be competitive. It's the one and only way to dig out of the situation that the industry is in. And ultimately, this is the challenge is compounded by the fact that there's just tremendous volatility in what's going on in the markets. Very difficult challenges in terms of finding what these new products are and ultimately bringing them to market quickly and doing it in a cost-effective manner. If you look at this in a different type of context, the three core levers that we see in terms of customers deploying grid and distributed computing technologies is around being first and being faster to the market, managing risk in a more effective fashion so that the products that are brought out to market are well understood in terms of how that's going to affect the capital position of the organization, and of course, much more profile in terms of IT cost effectiveness, which is, yeah, we want to be able to return our results quicker, but you know what, at the same time, you can't go buy more servers. And that's where we're seeing a tremendous amount of, how shall I say, ingenuity in terms of how to use these technologies to greater benefit while still growing the business. Now, the underlying technology that we'll be discussing today is grid technology, and I'll be very, very specific and clear throughout the discussion about where platform fits in specifically within Microsoft's HPC strategy and the HPC Server 2008. In general, the reason that customers are using grid technologies is that the models are extremely complex. There are massive amounts of calculations and data that occur within these models, whether you're talking about Monte Carlo simulations or different types of value of risk analysis and so on, and being able to have a technology underpinning that very easily takes advantage of cheap commodity hardware that you may already have within your infrastructure that you can reuse to great benefit to get results back faster. And if you look at why, how this, these grid technologies have been used, it's a great effect. The traditional areas are primarily in the middle and front office around portfolio pricing, modeling, and especially risk analysis in the middle office, which is starting over the last few years to move into the front as well. Some back office risk certainly has been used throughout our customers and throughout grid customers in general in the financial sector, but in general it's primarily middle and front. With some new deployments over the recent years in areas like fraud detection and customer analytics. And the reason those last two have come into play, I'll discuss in more detail at the end of the presentation when I walk through how these organizations are creating a utility environment so that traditional and non-traditional HPC type applications can be leveraged within the same infrastructure in a shared model. Now, if you look at the other side of the coin, I mentioned the middle office and front office being the traditional areas of deployment. There's been a move recently in terms of having even further advances in terms of the speed of which results are coming back and how granular the calculations are becoming so that you can, for example, support more critical analytical speed for things like your algo trading environment so that you can perform real-time risk analysis in advance of actually executing your strategies through your algo system. There's been a large amount of investment to optimize these environments. The whole idea of real-time infrastructure is certainly not new. The piece that grid plays in that puzzle is to create a more effective environment for the pre- and post-trade analytics that go around these real-time analyses. You're looking at now, instead of minutes to perform a calculation, to have milliseconds to have a result back to the engine to actually execute a particular strategy. So these types of evolutions are really along the line of speed and performance of the results coming back from your simulations. If you look at the early days of grid technology, the exponential improvement in performance that you were seeing was a traditional, for example, value at risk process that might take 7 hours overnight. We have customers such as JPMC, which are running that process now in 7 minutes, and they're doing it throughout the day in an intraday fashion as opposed to purely overnight. Now, the next stage in this real-time aspect is to take that 7 minutes and cut it down to 7 seconds and then even below 1 second so that you can perform more robust calculations in this automated and real-time fashion. Now, this gets us to the theme of the presentation today, which is around a particular and ubiquitous tool that's being used in these analytical environments, which generally are still running pretty slowly, and that's around Excel applications. And I say that they're generally running pretty slowly because, it's such a widely used tool to do simulation and risk analysis and pricing and so on, and the quants just love this product. However, you don't have to be a disciplined programmer. We know how fluid staffing is in the industry in general. And once that brain that created the Excel application goes away, no one wants to touch it again. And it becomes a legacy piece of code, a legacy application. And because it's difficult to understand, because it wasn't created in a disciplined fashion, and because it's going to be costly to make modifications to enable it to run faster, typically these applications are strung together with duct tape across a couple of machines to try to make them go at least a little bit faster than running on just one server, for example. Now, The key here is that while it's very difficult from an IT and a development standpoint to make modifications and to improve the speed of these Excel applications, the amount of IP that's within those applications and potentially a lot of the competitive differentiators in terms of embedded libraries and actual algorithms for trading is significant. So it's not something that is taken lightly in terms of pouring investment into making these results come faster, and come back to my original point around competitiveness and revenue generation being the key drivers for using these technologies. So what's involved with grid enabling an Excel application, and you know, why is it not as trivial as one might think? Well, other than the idea of the code being potentially legacy without the expert being available any longer that owns that particular application, the whole piece of why you would want to grid enable and take advantage of those capabilities and really invest in the cost that it would take to make those changes is pretty straightforward. You would be able to increase your profitability for the products that are leveraging those particular models and reduce the overall risk exposure. And, you know, take advantage of the commodity environment from a server standpoint, as well as harden these Excel environments so that you have stronger redundancy and backup and DR type facility for how you're running these applications. Now, I'd like to walk through a series of discussions around the products and solutions that are required to make this transition possible, and I'll play ahead a little bit about where we're going in the discussion today, which is platform is presenting a solution that works in tandem with the HPC server solution from Microsoft that enables you to quote-unquote gridify an application within an Excel framework without having to make changes to that application and without an end user needing to feel like there's anything has been changed with how that application is being used. And essentially, that's the theme of the discussion today, and I'll start off with some of the componentry that's required here and walk through some scenarios on how this is actually accomplished and the technical components that are required to make it work. So the basic foundation of grid computing, specifically in a financial services context where the task granularity is so distributed, there's just so many small independent tasks that run for a very, very short period of time, that the standard model that platform employs is to create an interface to the application in the form of a client API, provide a middleware piece in the middle that handles all of the distribution of the actual code that needs to be executed out to the worker machines in the cluster, and then a service context at the worker end that enables you to encapsulate your loop logic or whatever piece of actual code that needs to be executed repeatedly as part of your simulation and distribute it seamlessly across these available servers without the application developer really needing to be aware of where those machines are running. So ultimately, you're undertaking a development effort to take your looped logic that currently behaves sequentially, and you're creating a call out in a serialized fashion to enable that code snippet to be executed in a service context running within the Symfony or platform middleware that's running in the back end. So that's the general framework, and we've employed this model throughout the solution that I'll be discussing today to enable Excel applications to run in a very similar fashion, but with the key difference of not having to make any changes to that application. Now, before I go into more detail about the specific solution from platform, I want to make sure that we clearly identify the relationship between the HPC solution from Microsoft and Platform's Symfony product, which is the solution from Platform that's used by financial services firms like JP Morgan, Citi, Societe Generale, a number of other very large capital markets and insurance firms throughout the world. If you take a look at the specific layout of the architecture that we're providing here, Platform provides a very distinct separation between workload scheduling and resource usage management, which you can see identified on this slide in the graphic, those words on the top right and, of the screen. The workload scheduling piece is enabling an API interface, as I described in the previous slide, that walks through how you can break out your sequential code and serialize it essentially in the services context, and that's what those APIs are there for. And then the workload management piece is purely there to make sure that the work is split up effectively across the nodes that are available and then re-aggregating it and submitting the work back to the client. From a workload execution standpoint, the service instance manager is there to ensure that the work is completed in a task-oriented fashion on those endpoints. Now, the platform ego or enterprise grid orchestrator layer that you see on underneath the workload management components is purely there to understand what resources are available, who has access to use them, and when. Its entire function is about dynamically managing resource allocation and reallocation across the different users that you have in a cluster. And typically in our deployments, you'll see those different users being different applications and even sometimes different lines of business that are sharing the same resource pool. And EGO maintains the policies and security rights and disaster recovery characteristics of each of those applications, when they can access, who can lend and borrow resources from each other, and so on. So because of that distinct separation from an architecture standpoint, there are very key ways that the platform and Microsoft are working together. First off, around being able to provide a very low latency solution in terms of accessing the calculation capability of any particular server in the cluster. For example, once a resource is allocated for a particular task from EGO, the workload management componentry in this solution no longer needs to go through that layer and directly connects to the end machine to actually execute those calculations. Secondly, EGO enables a very straightforward scavenging model so that machines don't have to be owned within the cluster. You can leverage DR facility servers that aren't used or desktop machines that aren't being used overnight. And as soon as the owning application is kicked back on, EGO will drop its execution work from that machine and go run it somewhere else. And then finally, enabling a heterogeneous solution across different operating systems and applications so that while you're taking advantage of the native Microsoft technologies within your infrastructure, you can also leverage a shared pool of servers across any other operating system or language-based applications that you'd like to leverage this same utility and shared environment with. So coming back to the workload components, we provide a developer edition, which enables you to separate the entire layer of what resources are actually being used for execution. And this comes back to my point earlier where I mentioned that the developer of these applications, whether it's a homegrown application or an ISV-based application, these developers do not need to worry about where those machines are being run. You configure your policies to say how many potential resources you can run, and then the EGO layer goes off and determines when and how you get access to those machines. From a developer standpoint, you don't need to worry about that at all. The IT folks generally will do those configurations based on SLA policies that you set, and the developer just uses these tools here with our developer edition to serialize their components and enable them in the services context I discussed earlier. And of course, this developer edition is available at any time on our website with no restrictions in terms of node count or time limits, so you can go ahead and use it for whatever non-production workloads you see fit. And from a performance standpoint, very quickly highlighting some of the characteristics in terms of both scalability and raw throughput in defined as round trip in our context. Our customers are deployed anywhere from 5 or 10 servers up to we have customers that are using 35,000 CPUs in their clusters. So there's a very large range of user communities that leverage platforms products. In general, our scalability is conditioned upon the fact that we focus on distributed computing, so anything beyond two servers, this solution is viable for. And the fourth box down below in terms of single pass round trip is our published metric in 1.2 milliseconds to send a task from the client, which is the application side, through to the endpoint server that's going to do the calculations and then back to that client is a 1.2 millisecond overhead that we incur within the product, which is a very, very strong advantage for us in terms of how this technology can be utilized, especially for front office applications that are looking for more real-time characteristics in their analytics. So how do we translate these technologies into the using HPC for Microsoft-developed applications, specifically in an Excel environment? Well, going back to how Excel is used, it's very straightforward. There are a series of calculations within a certain type of model, and the more times you can simulate it, the better result you're going to get from a statistical standpoint. And the core issue with distributing calculations is that these applications are generally built in an Excel framework for one machine. Excel was never intended nor supported to be used in a service context to be run across multiple machines. So generally the development in these Excel environments was built for one machine. And as I mentioned earlier, very manual processes to extend this to different nodes within a clustered environment. Now the challenges that are presented in trying to do this manually are pretty straightforward. First off, you have to get your application code and logic out to the servers that are going to do the execution. The services themselves need to be pre-started, and typically that can be difficult to do in an Excel context. There's not a lot of options in terms of CLI or API type drivers to pre-start those services. The remote systems need to be addressed directly. You need to know that IP address. It needs to be manually controlled in terms of ensuring that there's no conflict with other users. The applications generally depend on functions that will need to run on each one of those individual machines. And pop-ups in the Excel world, especially in a service environment, are non-trivial. You're certainly not going to have someone sitting at each one of those machines to click OK or dismiss whenever a pop-up error or condition occurs. And that's probably the biggest challenge in terms of taking these applications and moving them out into a service-based model. So this is where Platform steps in and adds value to the HPC server environment for Microsoft. The solution that we provide is a component of Platform Symphony. It's called Platform Symphony Excel Connector. And what this enables you to do is take your existing spreadsheet and run multiple instances of that spreadsheet on the servers that you have available without making modifications to those spreadsheets. So if you look at this image now, if I start from the right-hand side, each one of those machines in this particular use case will be running Windows HPC Server 2008. They'll be running Microsoft Excel, whichever version that your application needs. And what Platform provides is the middleware in the center of this graphic in the form of the SSM and the Symphony Client API, which creates a deployment mechanism to move the actual spreadsheet itself and deploy it onto each one of the machines that will be executing the work. And then when the user actually opens up the front end, whether it's the actual spreadsheet itself or some sort of web front end that utilizes the spreadsheet in the background, the user will not see anything different. They'll execute their request, and the middle layer of Symphony here will then split the actual calls and number of simulations across the servers that are available within the cluster. So it's a very straightforward model. It's got a little bit more overhead than a typical solution for non-Excel applications, which I'll walk through in a moment. in the form of needing to ensure you have a Windows environment in the back end and also having Excel running in that environment. Now, the key layers the platform solution are providing here are certainly, number one, the whole end-to-end management of distribution of those simulations to the endpoint. For example, if you have 10 servers as opposed to the previous model where you were only running on one, then you'll get your results back 10 times faster because you're splitting up those simulations across the available servers. The second piece is the dialogue snipper, which is brought out by this beautiful graphic that I have on the screen here with a lovely rose. And the idea is that the sniffer's responsibility is purely to detect when pop-ups occur while that spreadsheet is running on a server and handle it. The key value for this piece is certainly throughout production workload to make sure that if any unknown characteristics pop up, that it will be handled automatically. You have options to either let the system deal with it automatically or throw out a trap for an administrator to take care of it and find out what's going on. Typically, this is most actively used in the deployment phase where you can identify and troubleshoot up front what are the potential characteristics where you'll run into any kind of dialogues within the system. It's a very straightforward configuration exercise and gives you the, as I mentioned, the capability to handle it automatically or in a more manual fashion as you get this solution deployed. Now, the key aspect of this solution is that it is hands-free in terms of changing the code of the application. Now, by doing it this way, you get very fast and rapid results of getting the application up onto the grid. Typically, this is only a 1 or 2 day exercise that our customers entertain for just the first application to get up and running in this type of environment. And then every subsequent Excel spreadsheet that they want to add into the environment is a much faster process because generally you've already set up all of the rules and conditions around how the dialogues are being handled and how you're deploying the various spreadsheets across the cluster. And what we find is that as applications mature, as time windows enable, that customers find that they get more flexibility by eventually going in and changing the code of that application, which will give them more flexibility of how they actually distribute the tasks across the cluster. You can imagine that the general deployment characteristic for the Excel connector model, where you're not changing the application code, is to parallelize that work based on the number of simulations. And it is a little bit more difficult to parallelize based on the actual task logic, which is certainly available if you are willing to go in and make a few modifications to the code structure within that application. So that's generally the next phase of deployment, which is using Platform Symphony for Excel. It's our standard Symphony product. It enables a language agnostic environment across any of the core languages that are being used today, and enables you to break out serialize the sequential code that you have in your application within the language of your choice and extend it out to your clustered environment. Now, this is a particular solution that, as I mentioned, is the generally a next phase if one is undertaken as part of the life cycle of these applications. And the idea is that developers can very quickly and easily make those modifications within the application and gives them more flexibility in terms of how the simulations are distributed. Again, recalling that this is more heavy lifting, especially for those applications that may be considered in a legacy state just because the folks that built it in the first place may no longer be available. So looking at that model, you can see that it's using the exact same framework that I walked through with using Excel in a without changing the application. The only thing that's different here is that the operating system that you're running on the end servers is going to be completely dependent on where you want to run the application. We have customers that are using primarily Windows Server to run their Excel backend work. However, some of those Excel applications in their lifecycle phase have now taken advantage of libraries that are built using other languages that are running on different operating systems. So the Windows Server will actually call out part of that library execution to a non-Windows Server and get those results back as part of the whole chain of execution. So again, you get more flexibility in this model. Certainly, you don't need to be running Excel on the backend server to enable access to these components that you're running in the cluster. And ultimately, it just gives the developers and IT more flexible deployment options for how you're parallelizing the work across the available servers. Now, across that model and what platform is providing under the hood for our Excel solution is a very straightforward set of APIs. I showed earlier what that API looked like from an architecture standpoint. I wanted to leave you with a sense of how many lines of code, basically, that you'd be required to make. Generally, using the API to move apart the application is the easiest part of the deployment. The toughest part in general, as in all development examples, is really making sure that the data can be easily partitioned across the various machines, which parts of the data are common and need to be deployed on all the machines, which components can be split up. And you're essentially defining how you initialize and connect to the service that you create, and a session is created that handles all of the related tasks that will be executed within that session context. So it's a very straightforward model. As long as there is a relatively straightforward way for the work to be broken up, and that's typically the case for many of the analytical type of use cases that we see in financial services along the lines of Monte Carlo and other types of portfolio management situations. And this is what the end deployment will typically look like for a mature customer that's been taking advantage of this Excel solution. You'll see that the top three environments on the right-hand side continue to use Excel in a back-end mode where you don't change that application. These are the legacy applications that customer is just not willing to change yet. And within that same cluster, there are other services that are typically running in the back-end leveraging the same environment so that you can share that utility of those individual machines across applications in a very straightforward fashion, something that can be as simple as using a set of machines overnight for a value at risk application and then during the day for one of your portfolio pricing applications and not having to create siloed environments. Which leads me to the last part of the discussion today, which is how do you take advantage of this utility type of infrastructure? I'd like to start with the case story, which is Citigroup, where their challenge was that they had a very straightforward situation that most organizations have faced recently and in the past, which is their applications were deployed in silos and they had tremendous growth objectives they needed to meet as an IT organization and were not able to do it under the cost constraints that the organization had. So they built a utility grid, originally combined 15 applications. They're now up to 23. Out of those applications, 20 of them are what you would call HPC analytic applications. The other three, they've branched out to applications in the retail part of the business. And the idea is that they've created this centralized group of CPUs and cores within the environment that can be utilized by any one of these applications that are able to access the grid. They then build back usage of those resources based on how they're being used to the individual groups that are participating. So the end result is that they've been able to drive down costs to the line of business applications tremendously by creating a shared infrastructure and removing the need for them to manage and operate a siloed environment for their own application. Now, what's key in the Citi case, and in most of our customers' cases, is that while this central group is providing a shared resource for the organization, they don't own the budget. The budgets still sit within what you might call the silos or the application owners, and that's how we've seen the deployment characteristics of these organizations to ensure that you only really change what's necessary, which is make sure that there's an effective way for these groups to share, but leave the rest as it is, charge back to their budgets, and just try to find ways to reduce the overall cost that they're spending on the infrastructure part of their applications. So drawing a picture of what that shared environment looks like is pretty straightforward. Generally, the example I've been walking through so far in the presentation is on the left side, where you've built one application and maybe your Excel application that you haven't changed and you've just deployed on, say, 10 machines. The quote-unquote enterprise grid on the right-hand side can be anywhere from, you know, 5 or 10 machines all the way up to thousands of machines. The concepts are the same across lines of business and across applications. In our picture today, that app 1, app 2, app 3 that you see in the enterprise grid side are your Excel applications. And being able to create a central shared resource of servers so that you can remove the servers from underneath the trader's desk and the quant's desk. You can create a central environment so that you're more effectively utilizing those resources and making it a more comfortable experience for the people that are building the applications and building the IP of the company, so they don't have to worry about the infrastructure side of the equation. If you look at this picture here, this is an actual screenshot from one of our customers' reporting systems on how they're utilizing this model. They have 1,500 cores that are being used throughout the week. You can see on this screen that the gray bars represent 12-hour slices throughout the day in a 7-day week. And they have 5 applications that are sharing the same infrastructure of 1,500 cores. The red bars are the exotics pricing application, which are primarily running during the day. And the value at risk application is the general app that takes over overnight early on in the week. And then has to share some of its, they both have to share some of their load with the risk analysis application that happens at the end of the week, which is the blue section. The magic in this whole solution comes from Platform's ego technology that I discussed earlier, which enables you to set the policies on how these application groups are able to share with each other, and then executes on those policies that you've set. It's a very straightforward model, gives you ability to create complex relationships between individual lines of business and individual application owners. In general, it's a very straightforward exercise to configure and set up this environment. And what that results in for that particular customer and others that have set up similar environments is all related back to cost. It is a cost savings environment that enables you to still meet the performance and growth demands of the business. It gives you flexible policies for lending and borrowing between applications in both a peer-to-peer and a shared model, where you have a centralized pool of resources. The ultimate utilization is driven up tremendously just based on the nature of running applications and pairing them together in a shared grid that work together in terms of the time frames they need access to those resources. And one of the areas that, frankly, we've been surprised at over the years is the dynamic sharing of the same environment across production, UAT, and dev. And that's been a theme that has been used by nearly all of our customers, where they can do those different types of lifecycle work in addition to running their production work using the same physical resources. And then on the operations side, it's a very small team required to run these very large infrastructures. That 1,500 core environment is only being run by 4 people. And it just gets down to being able to create a trusted production environment for the infrastructure that the application groups need to meet their business objectives. Now, there are a few best practices that we've seen throughout our experience with these customers that I'd like to share before we finish up. First off, the business benefits need to be defined by the application owners. And frankly, that's become much easier in the last 2 years, where the business benefits are still about growth, but there's no longer a a free blank check to write for adding servers to the environment. Our customers are being forced to find new ways and innovative ways to grow the business without investing more in infrastructure. And they're working with us and leaning on our products today and in the future to be able to enable that. The next stage is once you've defined what that service level is required for the line of business in terms of both service and cost constraints, the second is to basically design and plan how you're going to build out that grid, both from a technology and an organizational standpoint. The organizational piece that we generally see as effective is to create a small team that manages that brokers the sharing policies between the line of businesses that own the budgets for those resources. Create the sharing policies and build out the operational practices that enable you to do true utility billing, which is generally create the data that shows how these resources are being used and bill according to various constraints, such as if you're willing to let your resources be pulled away at given points in time, we will charge you less for using those resources. Versus if you have to have five nines and the results have to be back in 2 hours or 2 minutes, and without any exception, then you'll pay a higher amount for those resources. And then finally, being able to integrate all of this across the life cycles of your products across UAT and production, as well as development. So the general theme, again, was how do you take the Excel applications in your environment and very quickly enable a faster response time for those applications, flowing into doing it in a cost-effective manner by sharing multiple instances of Excel applications across a common foundation of infrastructure. And where platform is selected and where our technologies are leveraged is where speed is required. And generally in the front office applications is where we differentiate tremendously. Our openness in terms of being able to take our tools and download them from the website and use them immediately and integrate them directly into the production environment without any changes. And then, of course, on the cost-saving side, leveraging our ego capabilities to very seamlessly and quickly create a shared environment that is trusted, that enables you to break down political hurdles in terms of getting different lines of businesses and different applications to start using a shared environment to have a more effective use of your infrastructure. So in terms of next steps, and before leaving today, I wanted to highlight that there's a data sheet that you can download from both Microsoft and Platform website that goes into a little bit more detail about our solutions and how they work together. I urge you to download those. There's also additional information other than our download for the developer edition. We have lots of information on our website in both our products pages and our industry pages. And please feel free to contact me directly for more information, or you can go through our website to our general folks if you have any questions or comments. Okay. That's it for today. I don't see any questions at the moment on the Q&A. If you do have any questions, please feel free to jot them down, and we'll go through your questions. Okay. I have a few questions here, and bear with me while I pull them up. Okay, first question is, how long is a typical implementation? It depends. If you look at the example I brought up earlier, which is an Excel application that you don't want to change the code to, if you include the time required to set up the servers with Windows HPC server, installing Excel, you know, obviously depending on your installation processes there, you can add that in your own calculation. For the particular platform component, to actually enable that application, it's a very straightforward environment. You install Symfony on a management node that you typically would dedicate, and its backup will be any candidate from the pool. It's it enables you to back up to any of the live servers within the pool of nodes available. You install Symfony on all of the endpoint nodes. And if you have, let's say, a 50 server environment with a deployment tool, with deployment tools to get the pieces out onto those machines, it's generally within a few hours you're set to go. And then the next step is really configuring and testing the dialog sniffing aspects of the solution, which can take anywhere from a couple of hours to a couple of days, depending on how tricky your application is. So in general, it can be anywhere from a couple of days to a week for a general application to get up and running. Now, to go to the next stage where you actually go in and change the code of that application to give yourself more flexibility on how you can distribute the work across a set of machines, add another half a day to a day of development process for a typical application in that environment, assuming you don't have any nasty data issues to deal with and parallelization logic issues to deal with in that application. Generally, these Monte Carlo simulations and similar types of models are pretty straightforward to parallelize. You don't run into the same type of parallelization issues that you do in a lot of other core types of applications. And the second question is getting a hard copy of the presentation. Absolutely, we'll make that available. I'll leave that up to my counterparts at Microsoft to help if someone can jump in if you know the process there. Otherwise, we'll follow up with that. I'm assuming there's a download link off of the site that we'll put up shortly.
And actually, Kevin, did you want to jump in to let people know how to get a copy of the presentation right now?
Can do. To be able to download a PDF format of the PowerPoint, you can click the printer icon in the bottom right of your screen to be able to download or print the PDF.
Great. Well, I thank everyone for their time. If you have any other questions, please feel free to contact me, and I'll pass it back over to Kevin.
And that's the conclusion of today's presentation. I'd like to thank all the attendees for joining, and now you may disconnect from the audio portion of today's conference.